my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Romans 14. And when you get there, say amen. Romans chapter 14. We're going to start with verse number 10 today. Verse number 10 says, are you there yet? It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set naught at or treat your brother with contempt or offend your brother? Then the Bible says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Do y'all see that this morning? Today is part two of a message I started last week called, and I didn't even give you the title last week, I was so excited, but the title is called Letting Encouragement Override Judgment. Letting encouragement override judgment. And we saw last week in this letter that Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, we saw that he wrote this letter to get their attention, okay? He wanted to get their attention because just like many Christians today, they were judging and offending one another because of their differences of opinions and because of their differences of belief on certain things, okay? They were offending and judging one another because of their differences of opinion and differences of belief. I'm just doing a quick overview for those who may not have been here last week on certain things. Are y'all still with me? And because they were judging and offending one another, because they were judging, they had lost focus of what the Christian life is really all about. Amen? Now, last week when I closed last week, I left you on a cliff because we taught the message, and at some point I just said my time is up and I cut off. But look at the cliff as being a point where it is decision time. Because if we are one of the ones who judge people all the time, at the edge of the cliff, we have a decision to either continue to go forward or to turn around and get back on track. Well, I'm here to tell you, if we continue to go forward when we are at the cliff, you're going to fall off the cliff. In other words, if we continue to judge people and offend them because they do not believe or go along with our opinions, we are headed for disaster. You all still with me? But if we make the decision to turn around and get back on track, then we are heading for blessings. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. So once again, they lost focus on what the Christian life is really all about. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, because of his concern for them, he had to clear some things up for them. And the same things he cleared up for them, he is clearing it up for us today. The first thing he told them is, number one, is that none of them, like none of us, have the authority to judge anyone. Okay? None of them or none of us have the authority to judge anyone, regardless of how much money we have in our pocket, regardless of our position, regardless of our possessions. We do not have the authority to judge anyone. And he not only told them that they did not have the authority to judge anyone, he told them why they do not have the authority to judge anyone. Number one, he told them that we all belong to God, and none of us belongs to ourselves. Y'all still with me? He said we all belong to God, and then he told us that God is the only one who have the authority to judge. Okay? He said we all belong to God, and he said God is the only one that have the authority to judge. I want you to take a look at verse number seven. Okay? He said we all belong to God. Verse 7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Y'all see that? And then verse 9 says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Are y'all still with me this morning? You know? And then in verse number 10, he went on to say, why do you judge your brother? And I told you last week that if we are full of judgment, if we are judgmental, the only ones that can answer that question that the Bible is asking us is ourselves. Why do we judge each other? And number the second question is, why do we offend one another? Okay? Why do we offend one another? Because once again, the Bible tells us that God is the only one who have the authority to judge. And listen to this. God has not delegated that authority to us. He has not delegated that authority to us. So by God not delegating, because we know we have received a lot of things from God. He's blessing us going in, going out, in the city, in the field, in the country, wherever you are. But he has never given us the authority to take his place in judgment. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And the Apostle Paul, once he explained the situation to the church at Rome, once he explained the situation to us, he gave them and he gave us some very good advice. I want you to look at verse number 13. He said to them, he said, let us not therefore, since God did not give us the authority, let us not therefore, since God is the only judge by himself, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Do y'all see that this morning? I mean, one thing I like about God is that he tells us what to do and what not to do. And when he tells us what to do, he tells us how to do it. And when he tells us what not to do, he tells us how not to do it. He said, let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this, brother, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, what he's saying here is that instead of us judging people, we need to start edifying and encouraging people. Once again, I told you the title of this message is Letting Encouragement Override Judgment. Letting encouragement override judgment. And once Paul gave them that great information, that great advice, then he went on to explain to them, number one, what the Christian life is really all about, and number two, what authority we do have other than judging people. Okay? Number one, he told them what the Christian life is really about. Number two, he told them what authority that we do have as Christians besides judging one another. Are y'all still with me? Look at verse number 17. He told them here in verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God, or the dominion of God, if you will, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness. And what? Peace. And what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, instead of us living a life of a judgmental life, we should be living a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because when we live a life of righteousness, when we live a life of peace, a life of joy in the Holy Ghost, we are doing what the Christian life is all about. We are putting ourselves in position to bring other people to Jesus. Why? Because they see Jesus in us when we operate in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And last week, I put emphasis on the Holy Ghost. Because I told you there's a world's righteousness, there's a world's peace, there's a world's joy. But there's the Holy Ghost righteousness, peace, and joy. The world's righteousness, peace, and joy don't last. It's sometime. It's here today and gone tomorrow. But how many of you know when the Holy Ghost is involved, you better believe that it's everlasting. Are y'all still with me? It's not phony. It's not counterfeit. It is everlasting. The Holy Spirit makes a difference. Because when I'm living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, instead of me focusing on judging people and offending people, now my focus is on edifying and encouraging. Are y'all still with me this morning? And how many of you know that at some point in life, everyone needs encouragement sometimes? Everybody. Everybody needs encouragement sometimes. Everybody needs to be edified sometimes, because people go through things in life. They go through situations. They go through circumstances that bring them down. And how many of you know judging people will bring them down and in some cases destroy people? And that's not the Christian way. Our way is to lift people up, because that's what Jesus did. You know, in John chapter 14, when Jesus told the disciples to let not your heart be troubled, believe in God and believe also in me. In my house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. They were going through a situation where they were a little down. They were depressed. You know, they needed some encouragement, because Jesus Christ had been with them all along. Now he's telling them that he's getting ready to leave. How many of you know people go through things? But look at what Jesus did. I want you to go to John 14. I want you to see this. Jesus recognized that there was a time, a situation in them where they needed some encouragement. They need to be lifted up. And look at what he told them to encourage them. He told them in verse 16, I know you're sad. I know you feel like you lost. But he said, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray for you. He said in verse 16, I'm going to pray for you. He said, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. How many of you know when people are going through situations, they need comfort? They need peace. They need joy. He says, I give you another comforter, and he shall, and he may abide with you for how long? Notice he didn't say for 1 week. So the world will comfort you for a week. In the next week, they'll be talking behind your back, telling about what they did for you. But I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost is involved, that's why I said righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is involved, it is forever. And how many of you know that forever means what? Forever. And then look at what he told them then in verse number 26, to continue to encourage them. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, in case they didn't know. Jesus wanted to be specific. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you all see that? That's encouraging. And then, but he didn't stop there. Then he said, peace I leave with you. He said, not the world's kind, but my kind, the everlasting kind. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, because the world is a counterfeit. He said, give I unto you. And then he says, continue to encourage them. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many of you know I can see the disciples right now? They were really sad. But when Jesus started lifting them up and encouraging them, I can see Peter smiling right now. Thank you, Jesus. Because Peter knew that Jesus Christ, John knew that Jesus Christ, Andrew knew that Jesus Christ, based on the fact that they followed him around all the time, they knew that he was real because they saw him live a life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They witnessed it for themselves. And they knew what he said was true. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, when we live a life in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it helps us, and it also helps other people. And Christians, we are supposed to help other people, to include other Christians. Because, I mean, you know, Christians go through things sometimes too. When we live that life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it helps us and it helps other Christians. Well, Pastor, how do it help me? Well, the way it helped you, the way it helped me, is that it allows me to see things the way God sees things. It allows me to see things the way God sees things. It allows me to do things God's way instead of my way. In other words, or instead of the world's way. In other words, a lot of times when people see people down and out, they start judging them. They said it was a Christian. Look at them. You're judging them. Get up off your feet. What you doing? Well, that's tough. But God's way is to edify and encourage you. I know you're going through situations. I know things look bad right now. I know that things look bad, but Jesus is still Lord. And you just need to put your faith in him. Don't look at the situation. Look at what God said about the situation. He said, you're more than a conqueror. He didn't even say, you are a conqueror. He said, you're more than a conqueror. Just like someone pulled you down, God can lift you up. Those are encouraging words. Those are encouraging words to the weakest of the weak. Are y'all still with me? They are encouraging words. Because when people are down, everyone needs peace and everyone needs joy. Not just any kind of peace, not just any kind of joy, but the God kind. Are y'all still with me? Because once again, the God kind is everlasting. In other words, you know, when I started living that life, instead of me judging people and offending them, which is the world's way, which I do not have the authority to do, I start edifying them and encouraging them, which is God's way, and that's something I do have the authority to do. How many of you know every Christian in the world have the authority to edify and encourage? Not to judge, but to encourage. But it's hard to do it if we're not living by the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want you to go back to Romans 14. I want to show you something real quickly, and we're going to continue to move on. Romans 14, right where we started. Every Christian have the authority to uplift and encourage. Romans 14. Just going to go right back to where we started. Amen. When you get there, say amen. Look at what the Apostle Paul said. Once again, he said, for the kingdom of God, verse 17, is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It says, for he that in these things, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, he that in these things serves Christ, for he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Look at verse 19. It says, so as a result of that, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And things wherewith one may do what? Edify. Those are the things we need to be focusing on. He said, when you're operating in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, now it's time for us to start searching after peace and starting to edify or uplift people when they're going through situations. Because as I said before, when we judge people and offend people, we can easily destroy them. They're already down and out. All we're doing is just adding fuel to the fire. But how many of you know that when we edify and when we lift people up and encourage them, they will know that they still have hope for the future, regardless of what they're going through, regardless of what got them in that position, what brought them down? They will know without a shadow of a doubt that they still have hope for the future. Why? Because they have heard words of encouragement, not just any old kind of words, but words that came straight out of the Word of God. God loves you. He is love. But what happens is that a lot of times people judge people and they get together and then they start accusing people and then they want to bring them to a place so they can be condemned even more. That's not helping anyone. That's not even helping people who take the person there. And you know, in the Bible, there's a situation, and we're going to look at it because and many people are familiar with it, but you know, there was a situation where, you know, the woman was caught in adultery. And the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, those religious people, you know, they said, okay, let's take her to Jesus. So he can, in their mindset, listen, so he can condemn her even more. See, nothing comes from judging people. Nothing comes from offending people. Let's take him to Jesus because, you know, Jesus, I know what Moses said about this thing, but let's take him to Jesus so he can let her know that she need to get her act together. Are y'all still with me? But were they in for a surprise? Because how many of you know that we all have our flaws? That's why God can judge, because he don't have any flaws. See, if we did not have any flaws, then we could judge. But how many of you know, listen, I don't know about you, but I have some flaws. So they say, let's get her. We got it now. Because we are the smart people. We read the law, the Torah, the law of Moses. And we know that you're not supposed to. But how many know judging is a sin too? The Pharisees didn't know that because they were too smart. Like some Christians in the world today. But let's take a look at that. Because something stuck out to me like that I'd never really looked at before. Go to John chapter 8. I mean, the woman knew what she did. She probably knew she was wrong. But that's not the time to beat her up. That's the time to encourage her. That's what Jesus did. Not to encourage her to continue to do it. But to do what Jesus did. Are you there yet? John chapter 8. See, a lot of times when we look at the Word of God, we kind of get like one message out of it. But how many of you know, like I always say, God's giving is based on our ability to receive. Sometimes there's a lot of meat in these scriptures, but sometimes we take one thing out. But let's take a look at this. Chapter 8. You got to look at the clock. Amen. Chapter 8, look at verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Do you all see that? And early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came into him, and he sat down and he taught them like he always did. And the reason why he taught them, because he wanted to encourage them, because he was operating in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, and she was caught in the very act. The first question is, what are they doing peeping in the window in the first place? When they should have been out there telling somebody about being saved. Minding their own business. So listen to this. I can see it right now. I mean, you have to picture. You have to picture the word. I mean, here's Jesus. You know, he's been walking around. And listen, the same people who tried to trick him all the time to get him to go against the word, the same ones. Now all of a sudden they want to bring him a woman who's in sin to not only test him, but to condemn her. So I can see it right now. They bring the woman to Jesus. Come on, girl, come on. Jesus, we got her. We caught her in the act. Y'all stay with me this morning. I mean, the Word of God is just so good. And then look at what they said here. Now, let me say this before I go on. See, a lot of times you hear me say religious people. To me, you know, Ron chapter 15, verse 55. To me, I think there's a difference between religion and Christianity. Now, I know you don't have to agree with me. Nobody has to agree with me. But I think there's a difference between religion and Christianity. See, religion is what keeps people from church. Religion is what makes people not want to come to church, because religion seems to condemn people, because they do not agree or not have the same opinion or not living like other people, like the scribes and the Pharisees. See, they were religious people. You know, religious condemns people. You can't do this. You can't do that. You shouldn't do this. When all along, they're doing it themselves. But Christianity is the life of Jesus Christ. Christianity says you can have this because of Jesus. You can do this because of Jesus. You can do this because of Jesus. God will deliver you because of Jesus. In other words, it's more encouraging. That's what Christianity is all about, encouraging people. Because the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that also come to repentance. So Jesus came to encourage people to change your lifestyle. But religion beats you down because you're not perfect. But how many you know they're not perfect either? Why? Because Jesus is the only perfect one. So here come the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus, she's caught in adultery. And look at what they said here. They said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what saith you? Jesus, Moses told us, but what you going to say about it? This they said, tempting him. I told you they was testing it. They tempted him that they might have to accuse him and condemn her. But Jesus stooped down. I believe there's a scripture in the Bible that says, be slow to speak. Y'all ever seen that? See, sometimes as soon as we open up our mouth, we messed up. The Bible said Jesus, the one that we should be following, the Bible said Jesus stooped down. And with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear them. I mean, no, he did hear them. they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said unto them. Now, let me share with this. I don't know what Jesus was doing when he was writing on the ground, but let me tell you what I believe he was doing. So they brought her to Jesus, and they tried to condemn her for what she was doing. I believe, you know, God knows everything, right? Let's say that the Pharisees' name, I'm just going to make up some names, just for this lesson. Let's say that their names were Peter, Paul, and John. So they bring Jesus to woman. I believe Jesus was writing, well, Peter, you know, last week you did this. And Paul, just yesterday, you did this. And John, you know what you did 3 months ago. Just thinking to himself. Like, he's probably thinking, how are they going to bring this woman to me because of what she did and the way they've been living their life? That's what I believe. I'm going to ask him when I see him. But I believe he was kind of doing something like that. And then, you know, they kept talking. And then the Bible says, so when they continue asking him, he lifted him up himself and said to them, he that is without what? Sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. In other words, he knew they weren't clean. He knew they had flaws. So in other words, he said, why are you judging her when you have a big plank in your eye? He said, he's without sin, cast the first stone. Then the Bible says, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. John did this. Peter did this. And look, and they which heard it, being what? Convicted by their own what? Conscience. In other words, the sin that they did last night, last week, and 3 months ago, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. Doesn't matter what their age were. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. They left. They left. Now listen to this. I believe when they took the woman to Jesus, I believe that the woman expected Jesus, what are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. You should know. I believe she expected him to condemn her too. But how many know God is not about condemnation? And the Bible also says, there is now therefore no condemnation for them who is in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? Look at what Jesus said to her. She was probably like, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Jesus said, woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? In other words, what Jesus was telling her, I believe, is that the ones that are condemning you are no better than you are. And then he encouraged her. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. He said, go and sin no more. Those are encouraging words. I know you messed up. I know they brought you to me. Yeah, what you did was wrong, but just go and don't do it again. Just like the Apostle Paul told them, just don't judge anymore. That were encouraging words to her because she expected worse. But Jesus said, I'm not going to condemn you. You're not? No, I'm not going to condemn you. But I'm going to encourage you. Go and sin no more. See the difference between living in true righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? See, God don't want us to get worse. He wants us to get better. That's why Christians have to edify and lift people up instead of beat them up. Are y'all still with me? Because, see, when we live in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it draws people to us. Because like I said before, when someone is going through something, they are looking for peace. They're looking for joy. And if we're living in accordance to the way God wants us to live, they will see it in us. And it will draw them to us. And when it draws them to us, because I told you that it helps us and it helps them, when it draws them to us, then they get the chance to hear the word of God. Because if we're living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, we will always be speaking the word to them. We'll always speak the word. We will always speak the word. Always, 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 always speak the word. Because the word is on the inside of us. Y'all still with me? And they when they hear the word, they will get encouraged, because the word of God always edifies and it always encourages. See, a lot of times people read the word of God as if it's beating them up. No, it's not beating us up. It's encouraging us to leave that situation and move forward in the things of God. It's trying to bring peace into our life. It's trying to bring joy into our life. And that peace and that joy, the kind we need, only comes from the word of God. And when people are drawn to us, we start speaking the word of God to them, edifying and encouraging them. Instead of beating them down, bringing them up. Because the word of God always edifies. That's the whole purpose of it. Don't you know the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to edify the body of Christ? God is all about edification and encouragement. It's all about edification and encouragement. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the chapter that a lot of people get confused, because they get confused between praying in the Spirit and speaking openly in tongues. You know, people just get confused. Oh, you're not supposed to speak in tongues, because the Bible says if you speak in tongues, nobody can understand you. Well, you know, that's another lesson, you know. But it's a lot of meat in this series of scripture. And I want to show you something there. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to show you something there, because the word of God always edifies. I said it to you. I want to prove it to you. The word of God always edifies. It's always to lift people up. The word of God always lets you know what, you know, I've mentioned many times, it's like a mirror. If you want to see how yourself look, how you look in the mirror, look in the word. And you will see yourself. I will see myself. It will show us ourselves, and then it will show us how to comb our hair. Are y'all still with me? We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror. The word of God will look in it, it will show you how to comb your hair and wash your face. I'm talking about in the spirit. I don't want nobody to go home tomorrow. You take the word. No, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking in the spirit. Y'all still with me? Are you at 1 Corinthians 14? There was turmoil in the Corinthian church. I told you those Christians were left, right, up, front, back. When it rained, they went with the rain. When it snowed, they went with the snow, whatever. Whatever the way the wind blew, that's the way they went. Like some Christians today. Y'all still with me? Look what Paul told them. He told them to follow after love in verse 1. King James says charity. He said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Okay? Christians, listen to this. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known language. A lot of times, this is a bonus for you. A lot of times when people are speaking in tongues, people say they're prophesying. The question is this: do you understand what they're saying? Because if you don't understand what they're saying, it's not prophecy. Now, I didn't say the gift of prophecy. The gift, I'm talking about prophecy. It's a supernatural utterance in a known language. If somebody's talking to you and speaking a language you don't understand, listen, they're not prophecy. That's not prophecy. Because it can't do anything for you. You don't even understand what they're saying. That's what I'm trying to do. what Paul says here. Amen. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not into men, but into God. And the reason for that, he said, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. Sometimes people see people praying in the spirits, praying in tongues, they think they're crazy. They're crazy, I understand. They're not talking to you. They're looking at me. That's because they're looking at me, don't mean they're talking to you. But look at what else he says here. He says in verse 3, but he that prophesieth supernatural utterance in a known language speaketh unto men. Okay? I like what another translation says. Another translation says that he that prophesies speaketh the word of God and the will of God to men. And look at the reason why they speak it. To do what? Edification and what? Exhortation and what? Comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Not to judge them or to cause contempt in their life or offend them, but to edify. I mentioned to you, the word of God always edifies. That's the whole purpose of the word, is to lift people up, to encourage people, not tear them down. Always. Since you're close by, I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, since you're close by. Three books over, to the right. I've mentioned this to you, but I want to show it to you. Christians should always do things God's way. Edify people. Lift them up. Are you there yet? The Bible talks about Jesus. You know, when he descended. First he ascended and then he descended to the lower parts of the earth. The Bible says, look at verse 10, chapter 4. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And look what the Bible says here. And he gave some what? Apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And look at why Jesus sent them back. Look at why we have the people here today. He says, for the what? Perfecting of the saints. For the what? Work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many of you know everybody needs to be edified sometime? Doesn't matter how long a person has been saved or not saved, people need to be edified and encouraged sometime in their life. And that's why we have the fivefold ministry. Listen, let me show this. Notice the Bible didn't say that, let me just say it this way. If you're not careful, we might miss out on what the Bible's saying here. He said he gave them to edify, you know. He gave them to perfect the saint for the work of the ministry. He gave them. But listen, how are they going to perfect the saints? How are they going to edify the body of Christ? How are they going to do that? I mean, just because I'm a pastor, you know, early he sees me, I'm not edifying her just because she's looking at me. So how's it going to happen? What's that? You got to speak. What do you have to speak? The word. Somebody called themselves an evangelist and they're not speaking the word to anybody. They're not edifying anybody. They call themselves an apostle and they're not speaking the word. They're not edifying anybody. See, Christians are moved by what people's titles are. Oh, he's an apostle. He's an apostle. He's coming into the house. Pastor, you need to get off the pulpit because the apostle outrank you. No, he don't. Not in WOK Ministries. Now, I'm not just making this up. We need to understand. People think because the word apostles is listed first, then he's the lead. No. That's right. Come on. Every one of those members of the fivefold ministry operate in a different gift. It's not the person, it's the gift that the Holy Spirit allows them to operate in. Amen. That's why the Bible says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We listen to what the man says instead of studying what the Word of God says. But how many of you know you don't have to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher? You don't have to be that to edify, to perfect. All you have to do is speak the Word. And when people need edification and encouragement, because if you're living in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, they would automatically be drawn to you. You don't have to do anything. They would be drawn to you because, like I told you last week, I believe that every person is trying to get back to God. They don't even realize it. Last week I said every spirit, but the reason why I said every spirit because man is a spirit. We were made in the image and likeness of God. And I believe that everyone is trying to get back to God because he's our creator, and they don't even realize it. But the thing about it, when they recognize something of God, they know what it is. And the peace that they need when they're going through situations, the joy they need when they're going through situations, can only come from God and the Word. And that's why we can't mess around and be judging people and condemning people. We need to be in a position where they can be edified and encouraged. Because if you're a Christian, they're coming to you. Because the Holy Spirit is sending them your way and my way. See, you're more than just a sinner saved by grace. Because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Is that all you are? The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we have a glow that darkness sees. If you were lost in a dark place and you saw a little light shine, that light could be at the size of a pinhole. You're going to go towards that light. And that's what people in darkness do. They're looking for the light. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine before men. Because if your light is shining, they're going to find you. But if we're living in darkness like they are, look, they're already in the dark. They don't need to be in more darkness. Y'all still with me? If the light is on, they're going to see it. But if it's not on, how are they going to be encouraged? How are they going to be uplifted? And don't you know that when you encourage one person, don't you know it can affect everyone that's around them? Because listen to this. Sometimes people go through situations and circumstances in life, and when they get down and depressed, it not only affects them, it affects other people around them as well. But by us edifying and encouraging that one person, it helps everybody else that they're around. It helps everyone else. That's how powerful the Word of God is. See, you can speak the word to one person, but you don't know that it's affecting 100 more people that's been around that person. Tell y'all, it's not about us, it's about him. God is a lot more powerful than we think he is sometimes. When I say we, not necessarily you in particular, but Christians as a whole. He's not just a God that shows up on Wednesdays and Sundays. He's God. Are y'all still with me? I believe everyone is trying to get back to God. And listen to this. Christians, we have to encourage one another because we make up the body of Christ. And if one Christian is hurting and aching and pain, it affects the whole body of Christ. Well, I'm a Christian. I don't need no edification. Oh, yes, you do. Well, I don't need no encouragement. Oh, yes, you do. And the kind we need is the kind that comes from the Word. We have to lift each other up. We have to do it. It's not an option not to. Doesn't matter what the title is or what your title is not. Everyone needed encouragement. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Everyone. The Bible tells us to encourage one another. If we didn't need encouragement, the Bible would never tell us to do it. 1 Thessalonians. Are y'all still with me? Gotta change our way from the world's way to God's way. Letting your encouragement override your judgment. Are you at 1 Thessalonians? Look at verse number 5, chapter 5. We'll start with verse 9. Verse 9 said, "For God has not appointed us to wrath or judge or cause problems. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." This is Paul. He's talking to Christians at Thessalonica, the church at Thessalonica. He's talking to Christians. Okay? "But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him." And the Bible says in verse 11, "So for that reason," verse 10, it says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves," what? "Together. And edify," who? "One another, as even as also you do." And then he says, "Be careful who you hang around." Verse 12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." In other words, the Bible says we need to edify one another, because at some point in time in life, everyone needs to be edified, everyone needs to be exhorted, everyone needs to be encouraged. Doesn't matter how long they've been saved. Are y'all still with me? When we're going through situations, that is not the time for you to be by yourself. Sometimes people go through situations and they pull away from the Christian. You can't do that. You can't do that. People have to come to church. Listen, people have to come to church. We have to come together. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 10, to encourage one another. Satan wants to catch people by themselves. Because he knows if he can catch you by yourself, he got you. Now, you don't have any support. Christians, we need our support system. That's why we have to come together. Listen, there's nothing wrong with streaming online, but you still have to come together. You have to come to a place to encourage one another. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." If I'm watching the internet, I'm not assembling with nobody. You have to come together. You can't just stream online. Streamers, I love you. You're great. But you can't just stream online. You can stream online. It's fine. It's great. But you have to come to the house of the Lord, not just here, but go somewhere. Because when you go there, you have other Christians around you to encourage you. They might not even know what you're going through. They might just say something like, "God loves you," and that's good enough right there. Somebody might just walk up to you and smile at you, and that may be all you need. Come on. That's right. If that's what I'm talking about, I stream too. I watch our service on the stream. There's another young lady, I'm not going to call her name. She have a streaming ministry. I watch her stream sometimes. There's nothing wrong with streaming, but we have to come together to encourage one another. Because we all need encouragement. Because when one Christian is down, it's going to affect the whole body of Christ. I told you, if I'm discouraged, if I'm down, it's not going to just affect me. Guess what? It's going to affect you too, because I'm going to come in here with an attitude. Yeah, we're going to have y'all at the church. And a lot of you are not going to listen. Pastor, I'm not going back to that church. He just said, I ain't going to. No. Now you're judging. What I need is your prayer. Like Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I'm going to pray the Father that he send you another comforter." Prayer is a form of edification. You just pray to God, "Father, in Jesus' name, I don't know what's going on with Pastor Ron. He made me so mad today. But Lord, you said love him anyway. So I'll pray for that rascal that he get himself together. That's what Christians do. I have 5 minutes left. I'm almost done. But we have to edify and encourage. You know, I'm going to close with this. We know, many of us know the story of Moses when they were going up against the Amalekites. And you know, the Bible said when Moses held his hand up, you know, Israel prevailed. When Moses' hand fell, Israel was losing. But I want to show you something in this series of scripture that we don't pay attention, or not pay attention, we may miss out on some things. Go to Exodus chapter 17. Like I said, when one person is going through some things and they're down, it affects a lot of more than just that person. I'm almost done. We have to encourage one another. If you're in your household and you're going through some situations and you feel down and out, it's going to affect everyone in your household. If someone encourages you, it's going to help everyone in your household. Exodus 17. Are you there yet? I'm almost done. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Moses said, choose some men, go fight. I'm going to be on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said in verse 10 and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Who went to the top of the hill? Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Three people, right? Amen. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel did what? Prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek did what? Prevailed. But Moses' hands were what? Heavy. That's where he's going through some situations. Let not your heart be troubled. I know they're talking about his hands. But how many know your heart can also be heavy? But whether it's your hands or your heart, Moses needed some encouragement. As mighty as he was, he needed some encouragement. So the Bible says, once again, Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, this is what I want you to see in that series. Three men went up to the hill, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. And when a lot of people read this series of scripture, they focus on three people, Moses, Aaron, and Hur. When Moses' hands got tired, his hands went down, Israel started to lose. But then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, and Israel prevailed. So most people focus on Moses with assistance from Aaron and Hur. But Christians, how many of you know there were more people involved than Moses, Aaron, and Hur? When Moses' hands went down, the people who was on the battlefield, just because Moses was discouraged, just because Moses became to a point where he needed encouragement, it affected everybody. Can you imagine how the people on the battlefield felt when they started getting beat? They didn't know that they were getting beat because Moses' hands went down. All they know that they were getting beat, and how many of you know they needed encouragement also? But they got their encouragement from when they held Moses' hands up. Because when they held Moses' hand, the ones on the battle who had been discouraged because they were losing, they started to win. And how many know when you start to win, you always start to get encouraged? Because they're like, wow, because now you see that you have hope for the future. I'm going to bring this over to something you can relate to. And I'm going to close. And I'm not trying to make anybody laugh. This is an example. When you're watching your football team and they're losing by 20 points and you're down and out, and all of a sudden they get an interception and run it back, what happened? You get encouraged because you know that there is hope for the future. But how many of you know, depending on who your team is, you might not want to get too much hope? But when it comes to the Word of God, encouragement doesn't just stop at this level. It continues to grow. Why? Because of what we said on Wednesday night, the word will not return void, but it shall accomplish everything that it sent out to accomplish. What am I trying to get you to see? Stand to your feet. What I'm trying to get you to see, that by you, by me, encouraging one person, it could help a multitude of people. When they held up Moses' hands, Israel started to win. I can see those soldiers now starting to get encouragement and get edification, because now instead of losing, they started winning, and they defeated Amalek. But if Moses' hands had stayed down, things would have got worse and worse and worse. What I'm trying to tell you is this: when we judge people and offend people, things don't get better. They get worse. But when we lift people up, when we edify, when we encourage people in the Word, because we had made the decision to live a life in happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, we affect people in a positive way, and in many cases, it leads them to Jesus, and that's what the Christian life is all about. Finding the lost and leading them to Jesus by them seeing the peace of God in us and the joy that gives them strength. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise, because He's worthy.